So we've been looking at God's power through weakness. And this morning, we looked at the power of the cross. And one or two people may not have been here this morning, may have been teaching out in the Kids Zone Youth Fellowship. And we're so grateful for the fact that you have that ministry. So thank you. But this morning we spoke about how Paul had said, "For I resolved to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified." The focus of his life, his ministry, Jesus Christ and him crucified. But of course, that's like a shorthand for the gospel, because Jesus not only was crucified, but was risen on the third day. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, the really famous passage, he says, "For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was raised from the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel by which you are saved, by which you must hold fast to." That was this morning. And this evening, just thinking about that third point there tonight, what it means to be weak people through whom God pours his strength. The message of the cross was perceived as a weak message, but it was actually very, very powerful. And the Apostle Paul was a weak messenger, but through humility and the Spirit working through him, he had a powerful ministry, many lives transformed. But he says to the Corinthians that just as he's a weak messenger, that they are weak too. If you look with me to verses 26 to 31, a weak people. If we think about the treasure in jars of clay, then we are thinking about how does a jar of clay come into being? It's through a potter. And this passage has allusions to a passage in the Old Testament from Jeremiah where God says, "I'm the potter and you're the clay. Does the pot speak back to the potter and say, 'Why did you make me like this?'" We might think, why does God allow us to experience weakness? Is there something going wrong with our lives when we go through these difficult times? Or does God know best, that he actually knows that it's through these times that we can rely on him more? It's so natural for us to question God. It's so natural for us to ask questions about what God is doing with our lives. But it's important for us to hear what the Scripture says. So in verse 26, the first thing he does is he says, "Remember what you were." Now, if you're a Christian here tonight, can you remember what you were like before you knew Jesus Christ? Is that memory fresh in your mind? It's a good thing to do, isn't it? To remember what we were. I know that I am not what I should be. But I also know that I am not what I was. And I know that what I am today is not what I will be. So I know I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I was. And I know that what I am is not what I will be, because there is a promise in Scripture that one day I will see Christ face to face and I will be like him. And if you're a believer, that's true for you as well. Be encouraged tonight. You're not what you should be, but you're not what you were. But let's remember that not many of us were wise by human standards. Not many of us were influential. That means able, powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Now, it's important to understand that in Paul's letter, he's making some strong points, but don't take these points totally to the extreme. So, for example, when he says, I did not come with eloquence, that doesn't mean that he didn't work hard on his communication, because that's really important, isn't it? And when he says, not many of you were wise, not many of you were influential, not many of you were of noble birth, he's not saying none of you were. He's not saying that God can't use people who have an unusual level of wisdom even before they know Jesus. He's not saying that he can't use us if we're in an influential position in society. He's not saying he can't use us if we're born with a silver spoon in our mouth or with resources at our disposal. There's a story in church history of a lady called the Countess of Huntington, and she was very posh, but she was a great supporter of an evangelist called George Whitefield. And she commented on this verse, and she said, oh, for the glorious M, the difference between the many and the any. She said, if Paul had written, not any of you were of noble birth, she would think she was disqualified from serving God. But because she read, not many, the fact that she was born into a noble family did not hold her back, and she was a powerful, powerful supporter. And she used to invite her friends along to hear George Whitefield. And there's a story. George Whitefield, by the way, is probably one of the most fruitful evangelists in the English-speaking world. And one of her friends wrote back and said, I don't want to go and hear that man who says that we're all sinners. I don't like that message, and I'm not coming. And it also reminds me of a story of Martin Lloyd-Jones, again, another famous preacher who preached at the Oxford Union. And afterwards, they had a Q&A time, and the president of the Oxford Union stood up and he said, we thought your sermon was excellent, by the way, but there's one problem we have with it. You spoke to us like common farm laborers. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said, well, the last time I looked, the heart of a common farm laborer and the heart of an Oxford student is just the same. So not many. But in Corinth, who were the influential ones? There was Erastus, who was the city treasurer. There was the leader of the synagogue. And Gaius as well. I think it was Gaius. Yeah, Gaius. He had a big house, and the church used to meet in his house. So it's important to hold these things in balance. But what he's saying to most of the church is, remember that in society, you are pretty weak and insignificant. Why should anybody listen to you? Why should anybody listen to you? I don't know if you've ever felt like that. Why would anybody listen to me? So that's what we were. But what did God do? It says that God chose the weak and the foolish and the lowly. God delights in choosing the unlikely ones to display his glory. He just loves to do that. And I'm just thinking about the Queen at the moment. I should not leave her out of this sermon because she's probably the poshest person on the planet, isn't she? And she is witnessing every Christmas day, isn't she? So she's a good example of, that your background shouldn't affect you. But it's not so much our hereditary background or where we started in life. What matters is understanding our spiritual background, what God did for us. It says that God chose us. God chose us. Now, that's a difficult doctrine. It's a doctrine that I don't understand, but it's a doctrine that I believe. That God has chosen us. Jesus said that. He says, I chose you to bear fruit, to be my disciple, to bear fruit that will last. And I think it gives us a great security to know that God is the one who did it. And that is Paul's point, that God chose us. He then goes on to say, what does God give? And this is his key point. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption, so that no one may boast before him. One of the hymns we're going to sing in a moment is how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. And it says, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And what it's telling us here is that what God has given us in Christ is righteousness. He declares us righteous. Even though we're guilty, he declares us not guilty if we trust in his Son who died on the cross for us. There is a change of status. We were once not guilty. We were once guilty, but now we're not guilty. We were once unrighteous, but we're now considered righteous. The technical word for that in the Bible is justified. Second thing is, Christ is our holiness or our sanctification. I spoke this morning about how our sins defile us. And that makes it so hard, impossible for us to have a relationship with a holy God. But when we put our trust in what Christ has done on the cross, we are sanctified. We are made holy. And we are redeemed. That means we're set free. Of sin. The power of death. It's a word which is known from the Old Testament, setting the children of Israel free from slavery under Egypt. And it's used in the New Testament to describe what Christ has done for us through his death and resurrection. He sets us free. So these are the things that God gives to us. And as we take the bread and we take the wine tonight, to think about what God has given to us. And none of us has any grounds for boasting, because God has done it. God has chosen us. God has given this to us. And when we understand that grace, it really does revolutionize our whole lives. If I had time tonight, and I don't, I would take you through all the things that the Apostle Paul said about his own life and how he was radically transformed. But the word that he uses all the time is grace. He says, I was the chief of sinners. I was the least of the apostles. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He would agree, I'm not what I will be, and I'm not what I should be. But I am not who I was. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Is that your testimony tonight? That it's by God's grace you are here tonight. It's by God's grace that you are looking forward to saying thank you to Jesus for his wonderful sacrifice, for all of us. Why are we here tonight? It is because God has done something really powerful. And God has given us something really precious, His only Son. And God does not make mistakes. God has made you. God has chosen you. And God has got great plans for you if you will trust Him and you will allow Him to pour His grace through your life. And tonight, as we remember His death, and in moments of quiet, we can wait on God and allow Him to feed our hearts and allow Him to pour out His grace upon us. And that is what He longs and delights to do for each one of us here in this room, in your own home. God delights to pour out His grace upon you tonight. He loves you and He gave Himself for you. So let us worship together. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure.